Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
If you'll find your Bible and come with me over to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. And as we start in verse 1, it would also help you to find this little piece of paper entitled, Like Elisha and the Widow Move from Broken to Abundance. If you hear God speak, take a note or two, and the Lord will allow you to hear His voice, capture His truth, and that's how we are transformed. Heard a funny story about this fella. He lived in North Carolina, and he was walking home. His name was John. It was a dark evening, and he decided to cut through the graveyard. It was a shortcut to his house. He got off the path a little bit, just a little bit, and he didn't realize there was a freshly dug grave right in the way, and he dropped right down into it. Well, it had been raining. This fellow was small of stature. He tried to climb out, but the walls were too slick. He just gave up and said, I guess I'll wait for daylight. He huddled up in a corner and just huddled down to get a little warmth. Well, about an hour passed and he heard somebody coming his way. It was Otis, the town drunk. And Otis was wandering through that graveyard on the same path. And Otis also stumbled and fell straight down into that freshly dug grave. Otis was quickly sobering by now, and he reached up to try to climb out, and he heard a voice from the corner say, It's no use. You can't get out. He did. He did get out. You'd have gotten out too if you'd have heard that voice. You see, Otis was made aware of some resources he had that he did not know about. And that's the goal of this service today. I want to make you aware of some spiritual resources that you possess that you may not know about, that you may not have activated. So come now and let's personalize this message. Would you make this note? Is anyone here on empty? Is anyone here on empty? Some of you have come to this place and right now you feel tired, you feel depleted, you feel defeated physically. You are on empty because you have had too many activities and too many obligations and too little rest. Some of you are on empty emotionally because you've been surrounded by negative thought patterns, negative people, negative circumstances, and it's made you feel drained, defeated, and depleted. Some of you are on empty spiritually. You feel out of spiritual gas because you've allowed subtle sin to creep into the center of your soul. You've got a closed Bible, you have unbent knees, you're not in communication with the Father through prayer, and so you feel defeated and depleted. Well, I've got good news for you. You've come to the right place to connect to God's resource and abundance. A quick story. When I was a kid, I lived in Georgetown, Texas, and I'm Jay Jr., my father's Jay Sr., and when I turned 16, I got my driver's license. And so Dad got me an old beat-up pickup truck. And I emphasize old beat-up pickup truck. I was 16, let's say it's about 1970. This was a 1957 Chevy pickup truck. And this truck was not a chick magnet, I'll go ahead and tell you that. It was bent up on the fenders. It had three on the tree, a slipping clutch. The steering was loose. The brakes were bad. But the most disconcerting feature of this old car was that the gas gauge did not work. So I never knew how much gas I had. Well, twice I ran out of gas, and my father got appropriately very upset with me. And let me tell you why. My father happened to be the Gulf oil distributor for Williamson County, Texas. Now that means that we had all the oil and the gasoline storage tanks for Gulf. and he would serve at service stations. And we had a service station literally at our place of business. So I had all the free gas that I wanted. So he told me, I'm not picking you up anymore because I don't care that the car doesn't have a gauge, just keep it full because your dad's got all the gas you could possibly want. Do you see my obvious point? Friends, we have a Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father has all the resource to meet every need you could possibly encounter or imagine. Your Heavenly Father wants to take you from broken and empty to full and abundant. And that's what we're going to talk about today, how to do that. Well, let me escort you to the scripture, and I'm going to tell you a story about a woman who struck oil in her own backyard. And you can do the same. Come with me to 2 Kings 4. It says in verse 1, now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? Now take due note of that. He wanted to hear about her resources. What did she have in the house? She said, your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Then he said, go and borrow vessels for yourself from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not get just a few. And you shall go in, shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went from the prophet, she shut the door behind her and her sons, and they were bringing vessels to her. And she poured, and she poured, and she poured. And it came about when the vessels were full that she said to her sons, bring me another vessel. But he said to her, there's no more vessels left. Then the oil stopped. She came and told the man of God. He said, go and sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for the story of your remarkable and surprising provision. Father, I pray that you would help every person today who's on empty to move to full and to abundant. I pray, Lord, that you would get me out of the way and that your Spirit would move among us and deposit truth into every receptive heart, your truth. And I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me take just a moment and reset for you this unique story. Elisha lived about 850 B.C., and evidently, there were a group of prophets, and maybe this prophet, I'm just going to make up a name, maybe his name was Dan, and he married a lovely young Israelite named Rachel, and God blessed them with two sons, Jeremiah and Joshua, let's say. Well, Dan was a preacher man, and he was preaching and serving God, but he ran into some hard times, like even godly people can do, and he got behind, and so he had to borrow some money. Well, he borrowed a good bit of money, and to add to the problem of the household, Dan died. Well, there was nobody there to pay back the debt. So the creditor, as they did in that day, showed up to take the two boys, Jeremiah and Joshua, into slavery. Well, you can imagine how Rachel must have felt. Her back was against the wall. What was she going to do? Her life was her boys. She didn't have many options. She could run away, perhaps, but where would she go? Out into the wilderness? She could sell herself. She didn't know what to do. She could steal. She didn't know what to do. So the Bible tells us that she did something very, very wise. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to make this first note, because God can make a way for you in the same way he made a way for Rachel. Let's begin with God's person. Make that note, God's person. You see, God has surrounded you with people who can help you when you are on empty. When you've run out of gas, when you have no provision in sight, God can make a way for you. And generally, what I've discovered is that God provides for His people through His people. Let that sink in. God provides for His people through His people. So here we have a man named Elisha. And Rachel goes to Elisha, this noted man of God. Now, we studied him a few weeks ago, and you may remember that Elisha was a mighty prophet, and God enabled him to validate his word, his message, through miracles. For instance, he was surrounded in the city of Dothan by the Syrian army. They had come to kill him, and God miraculously struck all the soldiers blind. And we study this verse from 2 Kings 6, verse 16. Elisha said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." God had anointed the eyes of Elisha, so he didn't see flat. He saw three-dimensional. He saw into the spiritual realm. He saw the resources of God all around him. So this lady goes to Elisha, God's person. Now, there's a great spiritual application here. You see, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, that we are to bear each other's burdens. That's one of the goals of the body of Christ. We collectively come together so that we can help each other. And may I tell you something? Just from the depth of my heart, I came to this church in 1981. I've been on the ministerial staff here for 28 years. And here's the great truth I've discovered about this church. This church is not some sort of a hiding place. It's a helping place. This isn't a hiding place where people come and fake it and they just put on a mask. No, this church is a helping place where you receive the resource of God through God's people. God generally helps His people through His people. We're to bear each other's burdens. Friends, that's how it works. Now, I would have you understand that this church is not some sort of showcase for the saints. It's a clinic for sinners. So if you are in that category today of feeling depleted and empty and you're hurting and you need the Lord, you've come to the right place. Don't run away from the people of God. Run to the people of God, because that is your source and your resource. That's what Rachel did. She went to God's person, and there she found God's help. Let's go to number two. Look at her problem. Let's think about her problem for a moment more. I'll put it in 3D for you. Her problem was death, debt, and desperation. 3D, death. She had lost her precious husband, the provider and protector in her family. They had taken on some debt, and now she felt like that debt was drowning her because her two boys were going to be taken away from her and taken into slavery. And this woman was desperate. She had her back up against the wall. She saw no solution. She didn't have a way around this one. What was she going to do? She had a big problem. She looked to her past and she saw the pain of loss. She looked to her present. She saw problems. She looked to her future and it was clouded with fear. She couldn't think straight. Anybody relate to that kind of circumstance? Well, we've all been there. I've been there. You've been there. But here's the great good news. No matter if this is your circumstance right now, no matter if you look behind you and your heart has been gripped with grief because you've had some significant loss, maybe a loved one, maybe the loss of your health, maybe the loss of a job, maybe the loss of a child. No matter if you look at the present and all you do right now is see problems and they are drowning you, they're overwhelmed. Maybe it's the problem of debt. A lot of people are drowning in debt. They've spent money they don't have to buy things they don't need. And you're in trouble. And you don't know what to do and where to turn. You see, God has a resource for you. That's the core of the good news. And maybe, like this lady, you could even be facing the loss of your children. Not a creditor to come and to take them into slavery. I don't mean that. But maybe you sense your children are slipping away. I have profound conversations with parents. I've had many in the last few days about children slipping away into bad and unproductive, destructive habits slipping away into a peer group that's going to pull them down, not pick them up, slipping away into this abyss of social media. Oh, friends, we've got an issue right here. Sin has always been around, but it's never been so available. You got a smartphone, you got a pocket full of sin as your best friend if you don't watch it. And maybe you feel your kids are slipping away from you. Well, here is the set of problems, but I want you to be wise. And I want you to see what this widow did. She did not play the role of Cleopatra. You know what Cleopatra's problem was? She sailed down the river of denial. Think about it. Anyway, there are a lot of people who are living on denial. They don't face their problems. They don't admit it and face it. And you see, this woman, she fully faced her problems. She didn't dream them away. She didn't play like she was Pollyanna and they would just evaporate one day. She faced the problem. And then after she faced the problem, again, what did she do? She did what's prescribed in James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, we are told to confess our sin. In other words, own it, admit it. Don't play games with God. Go ahead and admit where you are, and then share your difficulties, your burdens, with the body of Christ. And they will surround you, pray for you, uplift you. They will help you. So let's go to number three. Let's see how this is going to play out. Let's move from her problem to God's plan in number three. God's plan. In verse 2 and 3, Elisha gives her a unique set of orders. And it's God's plan. And we know from Jeremiah 29:11 that God has a plan and purpose for all of us. And if we'll trust his plan, we can have faith that it's going to be okay. Elisha gives an interesting instruction through a question. He said, first of all, Rachel, I want you to inventory what you have. What do you have? What do you have? And her initial response is, nothing. I'm out of everything. Man, I'm out of everything in my cupboard. I'm out of hope. I'm out of everything. But oh, you know what? I thought I got a little oil, just a little bit of oil. Now, of course, in biblical days, and by the way, this jar of oil happened to come from Israel. And she had a little bit of olive oil. They would crush the olives, and they would use the olive oil to light a lamp. They would use it for cooking. It was actually used for medicinal purposes. You remember the Good Samaritan? He put oil on the wounds of the man who was beaten up. He wasn't making a salad. He was making some healing. So he put oil on the wounds. So oil was very, very valuable. So she said, I have a little bit of oil, but that's it. And so the prophet said, here's what I want you to do. Here's the plan. I want you to trust me, and in faith, I want you to go and find all of the containers that you can find in the neighborhood. Because God is about to do something extraordinary with the resource that you have. Friends, do you know what I've learned? Don't whine about what's not, but instead focus on what you got. There are too many people that spend all their time whining about what's not. I don't have this. I don't have that. I wish I was better looking. I wish I was smarter. I wish I had bigger influence. I wish I was wealthier. A lot of people spend all their time focusing on what's not instead of what they got. Do you know what I've discovered? God will take what you've got if you'll release it to him. Isn't that what he said to Moses? In Exodus chapter 3, he said, Moses, what's in your hand? What do you have? What do you possess? And he said, I got a rod. On the surface, that looked like nothing, but the rod of Moses became the rod of God that set the people free. So always start with what you've got. So do an inventory. See what God has given to you, and then realize that God always works within partnerships. It's amazing to me that God has chosen to partner with his people to do his work. Certainly, he doesn't have to do that. But track the ministry of Jesus. Go with me to John chapter 2. Jesus is at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. They've run out of refreshment. His mother comes up and says, Jesus, would you help remedy the social embarrassment of running out of wine? And so Jesus, he could have just snapped his fingers and all of the wine containers could have been full again. But instead, he engages partners. And he has some friends go and fill up these water pots. And he allows them to be partners in the miraculous. That's how Jesus works. In John chapter 6, there's a huge crowd. Everyone is hungry. And Jesus says, we're going to feed them. Well, how does he do it? He could have manufactured bread. He could have manufactured fish. But instead, he invites a little boy to partner with him. Don't you know that changed that boy's life? And he comes and he surrenders his fish and his bread. And Jesus takes that lad's lunch and he feeds a whole bunch. That's how he does. He multiplied that resource out. But Jesus wants you to partner with him. He wants you to, first of all, examine what you have and then give it to him. So this is God's plan. It's always a partnership. Let's go to number four and see her progress. So here's Rachel. Rachel, she goes to work. She calls her boys in on the play and she says, Josh and Jeremiah, let's go door to door and let's start knocking on all the neighbors' doors and let's get all the pots and pans and the vessels that are empty that we can find. Don't you know that she walks up to Miss Jacobson's house next door and says, Miss Jacobson, I know this is a strange request, but I need all of your empty pots and pans. And I can hear Miss Jacobson saying, well, honey, why do you need all my pots and pans? Well, Miss Jacobson, it sounds really weird, but I'm about to lose my kids, and a man of God told me if I would get a bunch of empty vessels that I would take my little bottle of oil and fill them all up if I would just trust God. Oh, honey, do you got a fever? Are you feeling okay? If you got a little crazy, what's wrong with you? Don't you know that some people were mocking her, ridiculing her faith? But did that hold her back? No, she went to work. Because look at what the scripture says, friends. Don't miss it. James 2:17, faith without work is dead. You see, God wants you to put feet to your faith. He wants you to translate your faith into action. I learned a long time ago that God cannot steer a parked car. And maybe you're here today and you're in parked, you're in neutral. Maybe because of your pain, you're in park. You're no longer running with the Lord, you're just stuck. There's a better way, there's the Jesus way. To trust and obey. Today, go ahead and emotionally put it back into gear. Move it out of park, move it from neutral, put it into drive. Drive because you trust the Lord. So that's what she did. She started doing her part. I heard a great story about this guy. He was 16, and he came to his dad, and he said, Dad, you know, I'm 16. I just got my driver's license, and I sure would like to borrow the family car and take Betty Sue out on a date. And Dad said, well, son, you know, that's a worthy goal, and I'm proud of you for getting your driver's license. I'll make a deal with you. If you do three things, I'll let you have the car. Number one, I want you to read your Bible every day. Read the Bible every day. Number two, I want you to improve your grades. And number three, I want you to get a haircut. Your hair is just too long. I want you to get a haircut. So about a month passes by, and the young man comes and says, hey, Dad, I wanted to see if I could get the car keys and have a date Saturday night. And he said, well, son, let's analyze it. I know you've been reading your Bible every day. I'm really proud of you for that. And I've seen you're making better grades. Your report card has improved. But I noticed that you have not gotten a haircut. And the young man said, well, Dad, let me explain. I was thinking about that. And I noticed that in the Bible, Moses had long hair. And Samson, he had long hair. And I think Jesus had long hair. And his father said, yes, that's true. And they walked everywhere they went. And so will you. Now, let me tell you how it works. You see, you got to do your part, and God will do his part. Well, what if that little widow said, well, I'm not going to go out and look like a fool and round up a bunch of empty containers. I'm not just going to do that. I'm just going to use the three cups that I got in my own cupboard. What would she have done? She didn't do her part, and she would have cheated herself out of God's miraculous provision because she did not do her part. Your part, my friend, is to trust him. Your part is to obey. Well, let's see what happens. Come with me to number five, God's provision. What happens? Oh, what a moment. You see, we learn in Philippians 4, verse 19, that we serve a generous God, and he wants to supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. So I can just see Rachel, Jeremiah, Joshua, coming into their little home. They've assembled a whole herd of empty vessels. And I can just imagine that they've assembled, and her hand started to tremble, and she begins to pray and pour. And then next thing you know, that little container of oil just fills up the first vessel. And she can't believe it, and then it fills up the second one. She says, "Jeremiah, bring the third one." And it's as if there's an invisible hose that runs all the way to heaven, and this container is inexhaustible. She fills up the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the tenth, the 20th. She calls, "Jeremiah, Jeremiah, bring the next one." He said, "Oh, Mom, they're all full. There's not another one." And can't you imagine her sense of regret that instead of 20 or 30 vessels, they didn't find 100? Do you know what I've discovered? God will fill up what you bring Him. If you bring Him a thimble, He'll fill that up. If you bring Him a cup, He'll fill that up. If you bring Him a bucket, He'll fill that up. If you bring Him a barrel, He'll fill that up. If you bring Him a lake, He will fill that up. You see, here's the great truth, friends. You can get all of God that you want, but that's the problem. We don't want enough. So what do? We bring God our little thimble, our little cup. We say, "God, this will do me." And He desires, as this gracious Heavenly Father who wants to give us abundance, He desires to give us a barrel of His blessing instead of a thimble. Well, here's the bottom line, friends. Here's the bottom line. Your possibilities. Would you make that last note, number six? Your possibilities. You see, it starts with the great exchange. The possibility is to do what we learn in John 3:30, to exchange for Jesus to be great as we are minimized, as we decrease. Jesus increases, John the Baptist said. And the process works like this. It's an ABC process. First of all, you've got to come to the Lord, and you've got to admit, not deny, not play games. You've got to admit the need, that you are broken, that you are empty, that you desire His filling in abundance. And then after you make that admission, you bring Him the empty vessel of your life. Now, I've got to give you a warning note. God cannot fill what's already full. And if you're already full of yourself, if you're full of pride, if you're full of your own human cleverness and ingenuity, God can't fill what's already full. So you've got to come to Him empty. We learn in Ephesians 5, verse 18, this great truth. The Bible says that we are not to be drunk with wine, that is dissipation, but instead we are to be filled with God's Spirit. So if you bring your life, your heart, as an empty vessel to the Lord, He will fill it up. So you bring your emptiness to Him, your brokenness to Him, and He will give you fullness and abundance. And that fullness and abundance will spread from your heart and life over into your marriage, into your family, into your finances, into your relationships. He will fill you up. And the C is, how do you do it? With humility, you call upon Him. You say, "Oh, Father, I'm totally trusting You. Fill me up." Let's do that right now. Come on. Let's pray. Father. Oh, Father. Oh, Father, we thank You for meeting us here in 2 Kings chapter 4 with Elisha and the widow. We thank You for Your promise of not only provision, but abundance. Right now, I ask, Lord, that You would help people here admit, not play a denial game, but admit their brokenness, their needs. And then, Lord, bring the empty vessel of our heart to You right now and invite by faith Your filling. Oh, Father, we need Your help. We promise that we will do our part. We will translate our faith into action even right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.